Good morning. Just a little background about myself. Currently, for the past 8 years, I've been at Gallaudet University. If you have any further questions about that, I'm not going to sign. I don't see any deaf individuals here needing interpreters, but I would be able to communicate with them following the presentation. So this is the best way?
Yeah.
Okay. I do have no disclosures. There is a lot of information on the slides. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to highlight the information on the slides. So if you have further questions, please take note throughout the presentation, and I can follow up after. Just a little background about the deaf and hard of hearing community. There are about 22 million deaf and hard of hearing individuals in the U.S., and in Washington, D.C., where the study took place, there are about over 24,000. Big D deaf is culturally deaf. So these individuals self-identify themselves as Big D deaf, and they have their own language and culture, American Sign Language. They don't identify themselves as having a disability. It's more of a sense of identity and a community as culturally D deaf. And there are about 200,000 to 500,000 deaf Americans that identify as culturally deaf. The problem statement, just going to highlight. Deaf and hard of hearing individuals were found to be at higher risk for sexual assault. 50 to 83% of deaf individuals have experienced sexual assault sometime in their lifetime, compared to about 1 in 4, depending on the study, in the general population. And similarly to hearing populations, females experience sexual assault more than males. There is a large deficit in the literature regarding deaf individuals and sexuality information, and certainly more regarding sexual assault and rape information. They have a disproportionate information of sexuality education, formal and informal, lack of sexual communication skills, which has been shown to be a risk factor for sexual assault, and they're shown to be more accepting of sexual myths. This is all on limited past research, but it has been found in some studies. The rationale for the research is, again, there's a large deficit in the literature for regarding deaf individuals and sexuality, and like I said, certainly sexual assault and rape information. And what we do know is that they are more disadvantaged than their hearing peers, as I was saying, sexuality information, education, communication, and sexual assault. And they represent one of the most vulnerable communities based on many of the characteristics that they have, based on their age, gender, hearing status, and then based on the other variables that I was mentioning before. The research question has a lot of different variables involved. Is there a relationship between sexuality education, sexual communication, rape myth acceptance, sexual assault experience, gender, and years in college among deaf and hard of hearing college students? Because there are quite a few variables, there are quite a number of hypotheses. I'm not going to go through all of them now, but I will talk about what was significant and proven in the results section. The social cognitive theory was the theoretical framework for the study, and these are the constructs that were operationalized for the study based on the different variables. I'm not going to go through those at this time. Just a little bit about the methods. Gallaudet University, there are 980 deaf undergraduate students in the fall of 2008. It was a cross-sectional study convenience sample. The sample was recruited through a variety of different ways. The online methods were most successful based on college students today having internet access, and as they were saying before, Blackberries and pagers and things like that. Facebook and Blackboard were most successful, and in person then the booths set up in different areas around the campus were the second most successful recruitment procedures. The scales that were used, there were 5 scales. Sexual communication survey takes the individual's perceptions of how they communicate with their sexual partners, and there were 21 scale items. The rape myth acceptance scale has 13 items, and it's the individual's attitudes towards rape myths. Sexual experience survey were a list of different sexual behaviors, so the individual could then state if they've experienced those individually, and at the end also, had they been raped. So it will then determine acknowledged and unacknowledged sexual assault and rape. Four of the items were adapted for consensual sexual experience. And the last category was sexuality education. There were five-point Likert scale items determining how they felt their education was from elementary to college and overall their sexuality education. And then also the last item determined who or what influenced their thoughts and feelings about sexuality. It was an online survey through Google Docs. It was completely anonymous. There wasn't an informed consent form, and the readability of the instrument was conducted in a variety of different ways with deaf students as well as the online Flash Kincaid formula. It's important to point out that it's a standard reading level and the eighth grade reading level based on past research, deaf individuals have a lower reading level, so it was important that it was a lower reading level than college level. I've incorporated results and discussion together because there are a large number of variables. The sample characteristics, out of the 980 students, 371 responded, 360 of which were deaf and hard of hearing, which is well above the required sample size for adequate power, which was 200, and the response rate was approximately 38%. The demographic characteristics, the population and the sample were very similar, as you can see here. A little bit over half were female. The high school that was attended was about two-thirds school for the deaf, which is important as far as the sexuality education. Ethnicity was about 33% from traditionally underrepresented groups. And it's important to point out here, sexual orientation, 12% self-identified as homosexual and 22% in between hetero and homosexual. It was a scale. It was not a, are you homosexual or heterosexual? So it was a range. And based on the general population, which is about 2 to 4%, I didn't go into detail here as far as results with this, but I did do more with my research about that. Perceptions of sexuality education. As you can see here, not until high school did individuals feel that the largest percentage had a complete sexuality education. So high school was 41%, and in college it was almost half, and overall then it was about 44%. Here, these are discussion items. I'm not going to really cover this, but these are ways to improve the results that were found. So these are the discussion items here at the bottom. Thoughts and feelings about sexuality. Similar to past research in the deaf and hard of hearing community, peers were the most frequent response for getting information. 53%, I combined two categories, peers and friends and peers, as well as partner and significant other, which is supported by past research. Marley Matten is a role model within the deaf community. So one of the ways to reach the deaf community, in her book, I'll Scream Later, she talked about her sexual abuse as a child. So these are ways to reach out to the deaf community. I'm not going to mention that throughout each slide with the results, but ones that are important to the deaf community. Media was also a common response at 24%. And I hope they serve beer in hell. They have a book and a movie by Tucker Max, which was very interesting. Media is not always positive, as we know. But as we can see here in D.C., Washington, D.C., where the study was done, and Gallaudet University, there's a large number of deaf individuals. Deaf girls can't hear you coming was posted on the buses, therefore kind of promoting sexual assault within the deaf community. So it's pretty negative. As you can see here, school and sexuality education, only 8%. So deaf individuals are not seeing that as a valuable resource for sexuality information. Sexual activity, the majority of students were sexually active, 84%, which is supported by previous research. The hidden curriculum is where most of the students get information about sexuality, which is in the deaf schools, experimentation. So I'm not going to go into detail about that. There are four items within sexual communication that were of concern. These two, 24% of students never talked about birth control openly with their partners, and 21% never discussed STIs with their partners. So those were pretty high percentages for not discussing at all. And the other two items of concern, students said that 31% of students said some of the time they say yes when they're really thinking no to sexual behaviors, and 30% say no when they really mean yes, which in other research in the hearing community is known as token resistance. And so that's a pretty high percentage when you are saying something that you don't really mean, so especially when you're with your most intimate, the most intimate person. There were five items in rape myth acceptance that were of concern. 32% agree to some degree that any healthy person can successfully resist rape, which is a pretty high percentage for that myth. And 31% agree to some degree that the clothing that people wear, they're asking for trouble based on their clothing. So those are pretty high percentages for people to actually believe. These three items all are associated with lying about rape. 56% agree to some degree that people falsely report rape. That's over half. That's a pretty high percentage. And the last two, about half of people lie about rape. Number 12, saying because they want to get back at the person that they're accusing. And number 13 is that they are making it up. They're inventing it so their reputation is saved. So those are pretty high percentages for people saying that they are lying. Others lie about rape. So our sexual assault experience, as you can see here, 1 in 2 in deaf and hard of hearing experience sexual assault. And I said earlier, 1 in 4, depending on the research that you see in the general population, experience rape. So it's 1 in 2. It's similar to the other few studies in the deaf and hard of hearing community. And another thing to point out here is, as I mentioned in that scale, there's one item that says, if it's acknowledged or unacknowledged sexual assault, 20% only acknowledge their experience as sexual assault. I'm not going to talk about these, but these are stories, acknowledged and unacknowledged sexual assault that the people discussed in the surveys. All of the items were found, or the scales were found to be reliable. 6 of the correlations were found to be significant, which is very high. As far as linear regression, 7 of the 9 analyses were found to be significant, 3 of which were very high percentages of the independent variable, explaining the dependent variable, sexual assault. As far as the hypotheses results, as I mentioned, some were significant, however, they were not proven hypotheses. Therefore, the results were the opposite of past research and of the hearing population. So that was an interesting finding, especially that 2 of the items were the opposite from, were contrary to the hearing population. I'm just going to talk about the hypotheses that were significant and proven. Deaf and hard of hearing female students were found to experience sexual assault at higher rates than male students, which is similar to the hearing population. Lower levels of sexual communication reported higher levels of sexual assault, which is similar to hearing population. And engaging in consensual sexual activity was associated with higher reported rates of sexual assault, which was found by one previous researcher, and that's all that was found in the literature. As far as rape myth acceptance, males were found to be more accepting of rape myths, similar in the hearing population. And juniors and seniors demonstrated lower rape myth than freshmen and sophomores, which is also similar to the hearing population. These are practical implications. I'm not going to go through them. Recommendations for future research just talks about the results, basically replicating within a wider range of the deaf community, replicating it in the hearing community, and then investigating further the results that were found as far as the significant correlations with consensual sexual activity, which was not studied in depth in my research. Thank you.